A glorious, glorious, glorious day to be in the house of the Lord. It is very obvious I am not Pastor Bruce. I am Pastor Dietrich. I am a friend of Pastor Bruce. He asked me to speak to you guys on this morning, and I decided to take this as a lazy Sunday and combine both our services together so we will not have a 4:30 service. It seemed like every time I'm in service and Vicky's here, I'm crying. Don't know what that's about. A few years ago, we was here and she had made an announcement that she was thinking about moving back to Africa, and I'm a big crybaby, so I just started crying. But it is a wonderful relationship that sparked a relationship and friendship with me and Pastor Bruce, therefore having us here as guests. We now don't feel like guests. We feel like Northbrook is home to us just as much as it is to y'all. So we are just grateful to be, as Pastor Bruce would say, one church in one building, you know. So we all serve the same God. And it's an honor and a privilege to be before you on today. Give an honor to God, who is the head of my life, and to your wonderful pastor, who is in California, is it? California. I saw that on Facebook. I was like, no fair. He left us here with this crazy weather, and he down in the Bay Area just having fun doing ministry. Put your hands together for your pastor. He is a awesome, 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 awesome young man. I won't be before you too long on this morning. I do believe that the Lord is speaking a great word through me for such a time as this. Let us go to the very first book of Psalms. Psalms 1, and we're going to go with the first verse. You're welcome to stand or sit to the reading of the word at your discretion. Psalms 1, verse 1, and I love reading from the New Living Translation. David writes in this particular text, he says, all the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. I want to talk for a brief moment about a blessing from God, a blessing from God. The King James reads as follows. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Are y'all just missing for children, church? Ray, you can take the kids. Sorry, y'all. All y'all babies can go with Ray. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. King James says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he shall do shall prosper. The blessed man. If you look at what we do as a body of Christ, how week after week we come to church, and we listen to our pastors or our elders talk about this man named Jesus, who died on a Friday but rose again on a Sunday. It kind of seems crazy that week after week we show up. The truth, listen to Pastor Willis, Northbrook listened to Pastor Hobbs every Sunday preach about this man named Jesus that died on a Friday but got up on a Sunday. Month after month, you come every Sunday, Wednesday night, learning and hearing about this man named Jesus that died on a Friday but got up on a Sunday. Year after year, we come into the same building, these same pews, the same podium, hear the same worship team, the same choir, the same elders, Pastor John, Pastor Hobbs, Pastor Dietrich, and we listen about this man named Jesus from Nazareth, walked on water, healed the sick, raised the dead, took two fish and some body loaves of bread to feed the multitude. But the story always ends that he died on a Friday, went into a tomb, but got up on the Sunday. Why? So that we can have everlasting life. He died so that I may live. But hold on a minute. That to me sounds like a retirement plan. When this life is over, my grandmama would say, I would fly away. But what happens now? Pastor Willis, what am I supposed to do in May of 2013 when I still have oxygen occupying my lungs and I can still see and I can still taste, feel, and I'm still living in this world, and I don't got time to really wait till this life is over to receive the blessings that Jesus have bestowed upon me. I want to be blessed right now, so therefore I get in a relationship with Jesus so that I can receive some type of benefit. That do kind of make some kind of sense. I mean, you don't go to a health club unless you want to become a member, and you don't want to just be a member. You want to be a member that reaps benefits. Come on, talk to me. The more y'all talk, the quicker this will be over with. Hold on a minute. Because Jesus says, I did not come to change the law. He says, I come that I may fulfill the law. And then he turns around and says, I come that you may have life. But I don't want you to have no regular kind of life. I don't want you just to have this mediocre life. He says, I come that you may have life, and I want you to have life more abundantly. So let me reverse and rewind, because I talked about why we came to church. I said we come every Sunday to learn about this man named Jesus that died on a Friday but got up on a Sunday. Y'all are listening. I like this crowd. He wants us to be blessed. God designed you to be blessed. I hear you, Moses. In the chapter of Genesis, he says to God says, let us make man. He says, but hold on a minute. We just can't make man in any kind of shape, form, or fashion. He says, let us make man in our image. So you look like God. You resemble God. You got godly characteristics in you. And then he says, not only do I want man to be looking like me or resemble me, but I want man to be successful. How do we know that? Because he put man in the position to be successful. God had created the earth, gave him a home, gave him an occupation, told him what to do. Then he says, he shall have dominion and power. Dominion plus power equals blessed. Show me somebody with some dominion, somebody with some power, and I guarantee you they're blessed. Now you show me somebody that ain't got no power, who ain't got no dominion, I'll show you somebody that's unblessed. If we go to Bill Gates' house and ring the doorbell, Bill Gates gonna look like he's blessed. Why? He's got some dominion. Where? Microsoft. That's all he is. And he got some power. He owned the company. What follows behind him? Blessings. But hold on a minute. I serve a God that's bigger than Microsoft. So if my God is bigger than Bill Gates, who's supposed to be the richest man in the world, hold on a minute. My God created the world. So therefore, the devil is a lie when he tries to convince me that God don't want me to be blessed. Yes, he do. You were designed, you were created to be blessed. But the problem is, there's a condition to receiving the blessings. See, God wants to bless a lot of us, but we hold on to our blessings. And that ain't what the purpose of blessings is for. God gives you blessings for you to be a blessing to somebody else. He'll get more to you when he can get more through you. I might need to say that again. He'll get more to you when he can get more through you. All of us got a sad story. We really do. No matter where we live, what background we come from, what's the color of our skin, we all got the same story. We live in America. Times are hard. Gas prices is high. Bills is mounting up. Children getting on your nerves. Relationships is all in disarray. There's problems on every hand, but I still come to tell you today, no matter what the situation look like, we still blessed. Why? Because we still can say, we still can... we're still blessed. Yeah, I know you got some trials and tribulations. We still blessed. I know some of your children ain't acting right and they ain't lining up in your outside of what they should do as children, but we still blessed. I know we got lawyers' appointments. I know we got doctor's appointments. Some of us got to sit down with financial advisors and business people. I come to tell you today, no matter what the storm look like, you're still blessed. So I wanted to look at this scripture that David writes. Because David does something very profound and unique. He says, blessed is the man that does certain things, that do not do certain things. So there's a contingency on our blessing. So it's safe to say, church, that if we're what we would call in between blessings, is it possible that we have put ourselves outside of the will of God? Because, you know, God designed and created us that we would be blessed and that we will be a blessing to other people. So we have to first examine our spiritual health to see, are we in a good place with God? Because God can't bless no mess. Come on, church. He can't bless us if we're not in the position to get blessed. We have to be in position. We have to be in God's will in order to receive the blessings of God. Y'all agree with that? David says, blessed is the man that watches where he sit, walks, and stand. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you're going to be blessed, church, you have to watch who you're walking with. That's a good point right there. There's some folk who we walk with, could be blocking or hindering our blessing. Because everybody ain't gonna walk with you in stride at the same pace, at the same count, and going in the same direction. God may be telling you to go left, but Ray Ray, Jane, Bill, or John may be telling you to go right, and if they got more influence over you than what God is, then you're pulling you away from your blessing. You have to watch who you walk with. David says, blessed is the man that watches where he walks, nor stand in the way of sinners. Good God Almighty. Some of us, especially some of us who are elders and carry titles, we have to walk this walk that Christ has put us on. And we don't have the luxury to remove titles in certain scenario. I'm Pastor Dietrich no matter where I go. If I'm on the basketball court and I'm coaching, I'm still Pastor Dietrich. When I go on a cruise in November, guess who I will be? Pastor Dietrich. We're going to go to Virginia in a couple of weeks to meet our bishop. And guess who I'll be? I'll be Pastor Dietrich. When they see me at Cub Foods, I'm Pastor Dietrich. I'm not a husband or a father that's buying groceries. They see Pastor Dietrich. So Pastor Dietrich has to walk the walk that he talks on Sunday morning. I can't be in the community doing riffraff and folks in the community know who I am and see me doing riffraff, because now I just stood in the way of the sinner coming to get redemption from Christ, because my talk and my walk ain't adding up. Can I stand in the way of sinners? Some of us have family members that God is trying to call and redeem. But because we don't live the life that God has called us to live, we're standing in the way of their salvation. We have to live holy and different from the world. We can't blend in. We can't mix and match. We cannot put ourselves in certain atmospheres, in certain situations, because they don't see you as over the Sunday school. They don't see you as an elder of the church. They don't see you as the prayer warrior that you are. They're looking for every shape, form, or fashion to show that you really ain't changed. But when the Holy Ghost lives and dwells in you, it's evident that you have a relationship with Jesus, and therefore you're not standing in the way of the sinner. David says, watch where you walk. Watch where you stand. Then he says, nor will you sit in the seat of the scornful. He says, watch where you get comfortable. Good God Almighty. We have to, as Christians, we have to be very careful who and where we hang. We cannot be so quick to be judgmental. There's a lot of sick folk in our community. Yeah, we got it right. Yeah, we woke up one Sunday morning. Yes, we came to church. Yes, we heard the preacher preach. Yes, we responded. Yes, we gave our heart to God and to Jesus. And yes, we got in a relationship with Jesus, and he picked us up. And my grandmama would say, he turned us around and he placed our feet on the solid ground. And now we are in a divine relationship with Jesus Christ. Everywhere I go, I take Jesus with me. And I got my life in order, but that don't give me a license to talk about somebody whose life ain't in order. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But then David says, his delight is in the law. And in the law does he meditate day and night. Let me break that down into 2013 translation. David says, his joy is in the word. And in the word does he meditate day and night. But what is the word? I don't understand. I don't get that. You mean, Pastor Willis, that I'm supposed to read the word and meditate on the word day and night? You mean I can't? I mean, that's a little bit too much. I mean, you want me reading and meditating every night and every day? I'm supposed to just be studying this word? That's got to be some kind of different format that can be applied to my life, that can be really transcended, so that I can really meditate on this word. Well, we're going to first find out what's the originality of the word. Because if you go down to John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the word. I got some Bible readers. Was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. Then hold on a minute. That word did something. That word put on flesh. And that word for 33 years dwelt among man. So wait a minute, Pastor. So you mean to tell me that if I hook up and get a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is the word, I can meditate on the word day and night. But I need to give y'all a little story. Let me paint this picture for y'all. My granddaddy was raised on a farm in Birmingham, Alabama. And he said the craziest thing that he ever saw was that a cow would eat grass it will swallow the grass. Later on that day, that cow will be chewing on that same grass. My grandfather didn't understand that, but his daddy taught him that what happens is the cow eats the grass, gets some of the nutrition, swallow it. Then later on that evening, when a cow get hungry again, he regurgitates that grass. He chews on it a little bit more, and there's some more nutrition in it. He swallows it. Later on that night, he regurgitates it again. He chews it and swallows it. Why? Because he's found more nutrition. Huh. So let me break this down for us who are Christians. Here's what the word is supposed to do for us. We're supposed to read the word, eat it, swallow it. Help me, Holy Ghost. But then when trials and tribulation comes up in our life, what happens? We regurgitate the word. What word? The same word Pastor Bruce just taught on Wednesday. What word? The same word he preached on Sunday morning. Huh, I felt some more nutrition. I got a little bit more power. Swallow the word again. Keep on walking. Keep on living. Go to work the next day. Something else transpired. Regurgitate the word. What word? The same word that Pastor John just taught in Sunday school. Learn it. Live it. Love it. Regurgitate it. Why? Because it's nutrition to our soul. He says he meditates on the word night and day. Something about this word. Something about the word of God that can change your situation. There's something about the word of God that can make your storms don't seem as big. There's something about the word of God that don't make your crooked walk look so crooked, because it can make a crooked man straight. There's something about the word of God. I got it. I hear you. It's that word that gives us motivation. It's that word that gives us power. It's that word that gives us joy. Oh, you've been crying all night? Don't trip, because the word says weeping may endure but a night, but cometh in the morning. You got to understand the word. You worried about what the doctor gonna say tomorrow? Don't trip on that, because Jesus Christ is a healer. You worried about what may happen at work tomorrow. Don't worry about that, because what a friend I have in Jesus Christ. How do you know that he's your friend? How, Pastor Willis, how are you so confident that Jesus is going to come through for you? You got some mistakes. You made some past mistakes in your life. You've sinned. You've done some things that wasn't pleasant, but I come to tell you today that my sins have been forgiven, and it has been white as snow, and I have a friend in Jesus. And if he can do it for a blind man and just spit clay and wipe his eyes and he begin to sight, if he could do it from a man that laid at the pool of Bethesda for years and he just told him to get up and walk, if he can do it for Darius' daughter who was dead and laying on her resting bed and he came and touched that little girl and she got up and started living, if he can do it for the widow woman who was on her way to the graveyard and Jesus says, what's wrong, and told her son to get up and live, if he can do it for 5,000 plus folks that's sitting on the top of the hill that got hungry when he fed the multitude, if he could do it for 12 disciples that was afraid on the raging sea in the storm and he stood up and said, peace be still, if he can stand in front of Lazarus' tomb and say, hey Lazarus, hey, we got things to do, wake up, he certainly can do it for me, and I know he can do it for you. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? Why would he come from the magnificent places of heaven and put himself in man's skin and have to be dealing with man? Why would he do it? Why would he go from Mary's womb to Joseph's boy to in the tomb at 13 and then on the Jordan River getting baptized by John to the mountaintops with the devil? Why would he do that? Why would he come down, get 12 disciples, and begin a ministry that lasted a little over 3 years to go to change the multitudes? Why would he do that? Why would he allow himself to be cast down, talked about, scrutinized, and scorned? Why would he allow himself to be ripped 39 times? Why would he allow himself to be stretched wide, nails in his right hand, nails in his left hand? Why would he allow himself to have nails in his feet? Why would he allow himself, because you do know he had the power to call legions of angels to rescue him, but he chose not to do that. Why would he allow them to pierce him in the side and blood came streaming down? Why would he allow them to put "this is the King of the Jews" on his head, march from one place to the next, talked about? Why would he allow himself to die? Why would he do it? He did it because he loved you. He loves you. Yes, you. Who ain't been doing, who may not feel happy with yourself. He loves you. Yes, you. Bad credit, no credit. He loves you. Educated, uneducated. He loves you. Yeah. Health and strength and weak and sick. He loves you. Yeah. Big, tall, skinny, fat, tall, black, white, yellow, don't matter. He loves you. And he gave his life so that you can be blessed. How do we know that the story didn't end? Because 3 days later, he got up and he got up with all power. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All power. And we have not only the key to eternal life, but we have the power to be blessed right now, today. I come to tell you, church, you got more than enough. Whatever you think you're lacking, you got more than enough. We might not have the fanciest car that we want. Some of us are driving, more than enough. If we ain't driving, we got transportation, public transportation, more than enough. I got a whole lot of shoes. Might not have the name brands that I want, but I got more than enough. Yeah. Might not have the labels that I want in my closet, but I got more than enough. A lot of us got more than enough than what we really want or what we really deserve. Yes, we can look at what we don't have, but I learned something a long time ago. Learn to thank Him for what we do have. And what we do have, be willing to share, to give, to help others. And He constantly, we will continue to add and add and add. We have an abundant life if you really step back and look at it. You have more than enough. And I come to tell you today, no matter what your circumstances, no matter what your situations, no matter how dark it may look right now, you get more than enough. Put your hands together for Jesus Christ. And I come to tell you today, I serve an awesome God. He's awesome. We're going to ask that you stand with us, join in with us in this song, and then we're going to go into communion. Ain't God just a good God?